Hello, and welcome to another edition of the LinuxQuestions.org podcast. Some LQ updates. First, I'd like to apologize. Due to some personal reasons, you probably noticed that LQ Radio has been a little quiet as of late. A couple things came up, and I just couldn't get the time to keep up with everything. Things have pretty much returned to normal now, and you can look forward to more audio here soon. We should be recording LQ Radio episode number 2 this Wednesday. So far, we have John, who was on the first show, and Christian, who was not on the first show, and we're just rounding out the last person now. Should have some tentative show notes and the full panelist list probably tomorrow for you, so stay tuned for that. The next story, on June 16th, LinuxQuestions.org officially turned 5. Still amazes me how far we've come in just 5 years. For those of you who've spoken to me or about LQ or met me and discussed things, you know that it has far exceeded my original expectations. We currently have almost 180,000 registered members and well over 1.7 million posts. We have participation from 8 of the top 10 most popular distributions as ranked by DistroWatch. We're trying to build the largest general Linux knowledge base on the web, which is the LQ Wiki, currently all Creative Commons licensed, but we're also looking into the GFDL too, which hopefully have an announcement on that somewhat soon. LQISO has facilitated just shy of 1 million downloads. Our Linux hardware compatibility list has over 2,500 products, and we even have our own Linux radio show and podcasts. The list goes on and on. And we have a ton in store for the near future too, including both enhancing some of the current sites and adding a new site or two. But most importantly to me, really, is despite our huge size, I think we've managed to maintain a friendly, open atmosphere that is conducive to both Linux newbies and Linux experts alike. And I'd like to thank the terrific mod team and each and every member for that. The members and the mods are what make LQ what it is, and you know, without them, obviously, the site would be nothing. And I'm glad that we are able to, despite our size, kind of remain true to the roots of why Linux Questions was started, which was to help people with Linux. I'd also want to mention that I'll be in the Cove for the upcoming GNOME Dex. The Cove is kind of the spillover room. Unfortunately, I procrastinated a little bit on getting my ticket, and I looked at them the one day, and they were available, and by the time I went to buy them, the main room was sold out, but Chris was able to secure what's called the Cove. If you'll be there and would like to meet up, drop me a line. It looks like Chris has put together a fantastic show, and I'm really looking forward to attending. Now, on to the news. This first one's a bit old, but I'll cover it anyway since it's been a while since the last podcast. It's an announcement from Microsoft on the default file format for the next version of Office. We're all pretty quick to bash Microsoft when they do something silly, so we should pay attention when they do something right. And they do things right sometimes. I was happy when I saw an article entitled, "Microsoft Ends Era of Closed File Formats." Could it be true, I thought? Are they finally starting to get it? I read the announcement, but there really wasn't too much detail in it, so I started digging around a little bit. And in the end, unfortunately, I think the announcement was a bit overhyped. There is some good, though. Word, Excel, and PowerPoint will be getting a new file format that is based on XML. The new file format is actually just an enclosed zip file, meaning that if you change the extension to zip, you will be able to get at the data in there with, you know, standard zip tools. And to me, that is a huge step in the right direction. And that's getting towards a lot of the data lock-in that is that now you cannot access a lot of the data with standard tools, which obviously is bad. The new file format will be usable on existing versions of Office all the way back to Office 97, which is also good, and the format will actually be documented and available gratis. So far, so good, right? Well, the bad news. First, one has to wonder about the patents that could come into play here, and while you have to hope that they won't, given Microsoft's history, you have to assume that it's a very good possibility that they will. And also, if they wanted true interoperability, they would have probably just gone with the OASIS standard, which is already a standard and already has been adopted by other Office suites. So what I think they wanted to do here is appeal to the large corporations and governments that are demanding open file format while still retaining a lot of control over that format, which is something they really would not have been able to do as well had they adopted OASIS. Additionally, reading the fact on the Microsoft site, it looks like the license for their file format is completely incompatible with the GPL. So I think that's really going to limit a lot of its usefulness and a lot of the benefits that it could have had. So once again, this really seems like something we'll have to wait out and keep an eye on and see how it plays out. But I think one thing is for certain here, and that is the importance of open document formats can no longer be denied. The next article is one that ran in Forbes entitled, "Is Linux for Losers?" While Theo from the OpenBSD project can come off a bit harsh at times, the reality is that he often is correct. One thing that struck me as odd about the article was that I couldn't find a place where Theo actually said that Linux was for losers. So looking into the author a little bit, who was Dan Lyons, it seems like he is the one that really doesn't care for Linux or open source in general from some of his past articles. So I'd have to guess that he probably sought out Theo, who he knew he could get some choice quotes from, through a controversial title on there that really wasn't even contained in the article. And there you go, instant story pretty much. Really don't know how articles like this keep getting published, and especially in something like Forbes. I'm going to pull one of the choice quotes from the article, and this is from Theo. It says, "It's terrible. Everyone is using it, and they don't realize how bad it is. And the Linux people will just stick with it and add to it, rather than stepping back and saying, this is garbage, and we should fix it." The response from Linus is once again all class, all composure. His response was, "Torvalds, via email, said that Theo is difficult and declined to comment further." One other thing in the story struck me as funny. The article contains a testimonial from someone who switched from Linux to OpenBSD because of a comment in the code. And I would say if you're switching your OS because of a comment and not because of the actual code, that's insane, but that's a separate issue, I guess. Here's a quote from the article. "You know what I found? Right in the kernel, in the heart of the operating system, I found a developer's comment that said, quote, 'Does this belong here?' End quote." Locke says, "What kind of confidence does that inspire? Right then, I knew it was time to switch." Guess what? Searching through the OpenBSD CVS, there's a code that's identical. "Does this belong here?" So take that for what it's worth. I don't think either one of those things speaks to the quality of either product. Another quote from the article, "There's also a difference in motivation. Linux people do what they do because they hate Microsoft. We do what we do because we love Unix." And that was also Theo. I'm not sure where this perception comes from. I know I don't hate Microsoft, and in talking with many open source people, you know, at conferences and online and various places, they really don't either. Of course, some do, but I don't think it's a majority, and you can find people that hate any corporation that's the size of Microsoft. That's just normal. A lot of OSS people do think that Windows is completely insecure and completely unstable, and most people, I think that Microsoft has pulled some extremely shady and many times just flat-out illegal business practices, but that's not hate. The reality is that Linus didn't start Linux to get away from Microsoft. He started it to have an open and gratis Unix, in this case Minix, clone. Going head-to-head with Microsoft didn't come until years later, and it just wasn't part of the culture when the community first started to form. One last story, and this one is also a little bit late, is that Danny Robbins has been hired by Microsoft. Now, Danny Robbins, for those of you who don't know, is the founder of the Gentoo project. One has to wonder if he's a little bit bitter. He founded Gentoo and was forced to quit about a year ago, I think it was, for financial reasons. He has gracefully transferred absolutely everything, to my knowledge, to a nonprofit, I think it's called the Gentoo Foundation, that he created. So the fact that he did that, I think, should quell any of the conspiracy theorists out there that think Microsoft hiring him had something to do with that, since it's already transferred. The fact that he poured so much time and energy and blood, sweat, and tears, and obviously a whole bunch of money into something that in the end he couldn't make, at least financially, work, had to hurt a little bit. I pour much of the same into LQ and can testify to the fact that making a project financially viable and sticking to your original goals and thoughts and direction is extremely difficult. And luckily, we have been able to survive so far. Danny is clearly a really smart guy that has contributed a ton to the community, and he'll definitely be missed. So I wish him the best wherever he goes, including Microsoft. But I do have to wonder how this could have turned out differently. And so at some point, if I have enough time, I really would like to look into why he wasn't able to make things work financially. And I'd guess that there's some really valuable lessons here that we could all learn from, and I think that especially LQ could learn from. So if you have any thoughts on that, feel free to drop me a line. I would definitely be interested. That is all I have for now, but thanks for listening. And remember, if you like the LQ podcast, please head over to podcastalley.com and vote for us. Thanks.